Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Speakers are asked to refrain from abusive or profane remarks, disruptive outbursts.
See, come that's on. The problem. Your forked tongue gets you in trouble. Just like,
no, it does not.
If you don't know who I am, close your mouth. Something's going to fly in your mouth.
You're going to have to be quiet when I'm talking. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do the insubordination.
This is not transparent, open government.
I have never said you were psychotic, though you may be.
I don't know that I care for the narrative.
Well, Stephen, I certainly didn't mean to hurt your feelings or anybody else's, or to imply that any one of us is not doing what...
I'm not a maiden who needs to be saved from my feelings.
Wonderful, thank you.
Love can touch us one time and last for a lifetime.
The real question is, who has authority for public purpose? And this is why the clerk and I are at an impasse now. I believe the board does. I've worked with the clerk on multiple things over the year, and I think she's been right on a lot of things, but I don't think she's right on this. And unfortunately, the board is put in a very precarious position right now. We have to decide, do we believe we control public purpose, or do we have one constitutional officer that distorts public purpose? And I believe that this board decides public purpose. So I'll support whatever you want as long as we're not paying for any money out of county. I don't want frivolous lawsuits.
So this is the question the Board of County Commissioners had to deal with on Wednesday when the short version, there isn't a short version of this, but I'm going to do my best because we talked about it already and we'll talk about it some more, is that Alex Andrade, on behalf of two charities who did not get payments that the county commissioners voted to give them, through their discretionary funds. It really doesn't matter whether it's discretionary funds or not. What really matters is the fact that they voted to give these payments, and the clerk slash comptroller, Pam Childers, said, no, that is not a county public purpose. They wanted to sue her, the two charities wanted to sue her. Alex Andrade happens to be their attorney, even though, you know, he is also a state representative. That's irrelevant at the moment. He's just an attorney at the moment. And he went back and found a law, I think from the 80s, that essentially says that this is a public purpose to give money to charitable groups, to honor them, respect them, and to reimburse them. And so because that law was already passed by the Escambia County Commission back in the day, if Pam wins and the payments are illegal, that law, that ordinance by the county commission, would be jeopardized or struck down. Because of that, there's a state statute that says any law case where a county ordinance would be struck down as a result of the ruling, well, the county has to be brought into the case. They're a part of the case. Normally, they would be the defendant. The weird part is that they are on the exact opposite side of these payments from the clerk. She believes they're illegal. They believe they're legal. So oddly, if she wins, then the ordinance gets struck down. And that's why they wind up being on the other side of this. There's other reasons as well. So the question was, you're going to get brought into this lawsuit. You have to. Will you be a defendant with Pam against the charities that Alex represents? Or will you be a plaintiff with the charities and Alex against her? And that's the issue. Now, Mike Kohler is pointing out that the question is, who gets to make this decision? Who gets to decide what a public purpose is? They think it's them. And she's not saying it's not them. She's just saying she has the ability to say that it's not a public purpose, and this is a case where it's not. That's why she's not issuing the payments that are being sued to be released.
But I need to acknowledge,
this is Steve Stroberger,
what our clerk and comptroller's job is, and it's both ministerial, and she has an independent constitutional responsibility. She's not just a check writer. We all agree on that, right?
Correct.
She doesn't just write the checks. Among other things, she ensures payment complies with state law. She needs to make sure it complies with state law. That's the job. And she protects the public funds. Do you not?
Which is exactly why she's in the position to say no to funds. Now, what Alex is arguing is that she is only able to say no to things that are explicitly prohibited. It's not her judgment. It's only things that are specifically prohibited that she can say no to. And this ordinance from the past specifically authorizes these payments, and therefore, she's wrong, his people are right, and the law should be upheld. Now, I think there's a – this might be getting too far into the logic for y'all, but I don't know that the county commission has the ability to declare on its own behalf that something is a public purpose, as they've done in that ordinance. Because if they don't have the power to make it a public purpose by each payment, they don't have the power to make it in general a public purpose to pay for charities. They can't, like, pre-authorize – the legality of a thing that isn't itself actually legal. You follow? I mean, I went a little fast on that. But so I'm not sure that there's any controlling power in this ordinance. But the fact that the ordinance would be struck down does mean they have to be involved in this lawsuit. And there's a time issue here, because if they come in as a plaintiff, they can control things a little bit better. Allison Rogers is going to say that. But also, if they come in as a defendant, there are going to be a whole bunch of procedural things that might drag this out 12, 15 months, might involve more costs, certainly will involve more time. And everybody wants resolution to this. They want to know what the law really is so we can continue doing or not doing the business of the people. Steve Stroberger.
So why haven't we gotten an attorney general's opinion on this?
If you're familiar with my relationship with our current attorney general, I really couldn't tell you.
So partially because he apparently only writes opinions that people don't ask for and doesn't write the ones people do ask for. But also because, you know, well, I'm not really in a position to answer that question. We'll come back to this in a second. John Pickens, because of the Hope Florida Foundation stuff and the Centene and the James Othmeyer. And okay, anyway, John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Florida West. Did you know that Florida West Economic Development Alliance works to create high-wage jobs, private capital investment that grows Escambia County's tax base? Still dealing with that one accident that happened on Highway 29 and 9 1/2 mile road. There's no road blockage, but I am seeing just some minor delays going southbound on 29. Let's see here. I-10, I-110, 90, 98, they are all flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. All right, back to the Escambia County Commission. Pam Childers, Alex Andrade, the county commissioners, and Pam is going to explain why she thinks Alex wants to bring them in as plaintiffs as opposed to being on her side as defendants, even though, again, the fundamental issue here is who's in control of deciding what's an authorized public use payment. She says it's, you know, what they've said is wrong, and they say that what they've said is right. So they are on the opposite side of that issue, which is why he's arguing they ought to be plaintiffs against her. But she says,
and as far as being a plaintiff versus a defendant, you have no choice. He's going to make you a defendant. He will include you because of standing. You should not be a plaintiff in this. But he will sue you to be a defendant.
And so Alex is saying, I don't make me force you in as a defendant when you can come in as a plaintiff. It makes more sense.
And he also, in his deck action, would like me, and so would you, Commissioner Kohler, to ruin me personally.
Oh, I do.
And to ruin me financially. Stop. You said it. It's on record.
Come on.
Okay.
To go after me personally for $1.5 million.
Okay, let's pause there. The issue is, if she wins and it's illegal, then there's a state law that says any payment that she has issued in the past that was illegal, she's personally responsible to pay back the county for, which could amount to as much as $1.5 million. So what she's arguing or raising is, y'all are trying to get me personally for this $1.5 million, which is a very frightening kind of thing to consider. I think her analysis of how this shakes out is actually wrong. I'll explain more in a second, but you know, the initial comments there is, you're trying to get me personally, and Kohler is denying it, and so forth.
2 weeks later, there's a demand letter from Andrade to say, pay this money or we'll sue you for $600,000. Then there's a lawsuit that says, pay this money or we'll go after you for $1.5 million. Count four is coming after me for $1.5 million, of which he does not have standing. That's what this is about.
So what will happen if, again, if she wins and denies the payment because the payment's illegal, then somebody, theoretically the county, could come after her for all of the back payments of a similar sort that she did issue, for which she's now personally liable, in theory, because they were illegal and she authorized them. Ashley Hoffberger.
Commissioner Kohler, you're right. We did vote for this. And I have said all along, when you know better, do better. I'm 2 years into this job. You're 4 years into this job. Commissioner Stroberger's 2 years into this job. If I had to vote on it again, I would not vote on it again. I am not going to sue to advocate that we take property tax dollars that we require people to pay, when Commissioner May sits up here and tells us that people are losing their houses because they can't afford property tax dollars, and then turn around and give them to whatever charity we think is the best one.
And he has been saying that. And her argument is, we shouldn't be giving money to private charity. This should be something that ordinary individuals do. We shouldn't be confiscating property taxes for that purpose. We should be doing it only for legitimate public purposes. So she wouldn't have voted to authorize the funds in retrospect now that she knows more. She's been in the job longer.
We have people begging for property tax reform, and we're going to turn around and sue to give that money away instead of building sidewalks or putting in cameras or anything else we could be doing. That is just absolutely freaking ridiculous. On top of that, I don't know where the law is, but I can tell you, just because you can do something doesn't mean you should. And I am not going to take money from people of our community that we require them to pay and funnel to our favorite charities. I cannot support that in any way.
You know, I've said many times that Ashley tends to be quiet until, like, enough conversations happen, and then she throws a right hook. That's, yeah, that's exactly it. Mike Kohler.
This is about political theater. We could have had this resolved. We're not going to cost the county money. She could use Cody.
Cody Long is her in-house attorney, okay, as opposed to Ed Fleming, who's an outside attorney that she's paying.
She has a lawyer. Mm-hmm. She doesn't have to go out and get a private lawyer.
We hire outside counsel all the time.
She's choosing to. So when she says that I have a right, she does. But we're not forcing her to do that. She's choosing to do that.
And he's saying that's costing everybody money because ultimately that's coming out of her budget, which comes out of their allocation, which comes out of your property taxes.
I don't know how you explain this record. And this is why I'm in such a state of confusion with the clerk now. I don't even know how this is normal accounting practices, where you do something for 12 years and then you just decide you're not going to do it. It does not make any common sense to me.
Let me answer your question then. I listened to your county attorney who said it was legal. I listened to you when you voted and you said it was legal. I listened to Wes Marino, who gave it to OMB, who passed it through and said it was legal. I didn't have a general counsel in 2019 when this ratcheted up. I called Allison Roger and I asked for an opinion. I asked for forms. Allison, there's emails in the document. I asked you to write a policy on this. Just because you say it is county public purpose does not mean that it is public purpose.
I sat with Cody 3 years and we later. Drafted a policy.
Yes, you did. 3 years later.
And
thank you.
And he signed off on it.
Yes and no.
No, he did.
The details matter. You can have a public policy. And then when you send through expenditures for a golf party, it was for a party, and that is county public purpose.
So, Madam Clerk, do I hear that it's...
So, the fact that you created a policy doesn't mean that a subsequent submitted reimbursement would really qualify under the parameters that that policy sets out. You might not be following the policy, or you might be following the policy to some degree, but also be asking for a reimbursement that really shouldn't have been agreed to in any sense. That's the issue. That's why she's saying we have to go case by case on this.
Fault that you signed off 1.5.
Hold on, I gotta kind of put these together. I cut them awkwardly. Sorry.
So, Madam Clerk,
One more time. Let's see if I can do my job properly here.
So, Madam Clerk, our fault that you signed off $1.5 million checks for 12 years? Is that's what you're saying?
Commissioner, I'll just
no, that's what you
court.
Said.
This is not where court.
I'll just see you in court.
Court needs to be.
No, because you don't want to own
absolutely
it. You own it.
I will sign off that you will always have the legislative authority. Always. I am not going to fight that in court. I never will. I also believe that you can have an appropriation where you have discretion. It does not mean you get to do whatever you want to. Words matter. Details matter. The expenditure that comes through this county for my office to pay matters.
I actually agree with most of that. I don't know why we have to have a lawsuit over it. I really don't, because I think we could have got there.
Because although you have the primary authority to declare something as a public purpose, you don't have unlimited authority. There are no, it's not an absence of all guardrails. It's just that you have the general power to do it. That doesn't mean that you're always right.
Y'all's participation does not have to be adversarial, but the clerk is correct. Because of Florida Statute 86.091, which in pertinent part states, in any proceeding concerning the validity of a county or municipal charter, ordinance, or franchise, such county or municipality shall be made a party and shall be entitled to be heard. Because of this ordinance that y'all passed in 1985, saying y'all can give checks to charities for the sole purpose of engendering goodwill toward the county within the community.
Which they did.
I have to bring you.
I would like to add that ordinance to our next agenda for us to remove it. So whatever we need to do, whatever hearings, and I understand you can't retro do anything, but under no circumstances should we be paying property tax dollars to charity. So whatever hearings we need to have to remove that ordinance for future.
And Chair, that's a great example of y'all's discretion as the legislators for this body. Mm-hmm. I'm bound by current law and current statute.
Yeah, so Ashley Hoffberger wants to delete the 85 ordinance because she thinks that it's wrong. Whether it's illegal or not is up to the court to decide. Of course, that's not the issue. It'd be whether the payments were issued under the authority of that law or whether they have the authority to issue them anyway. We'll come back to this again. There's more to be said. John's blood pressure is up.
Just a little bit.
Because I really haven't gotten yet to the key issue. I kind of hinted at it, but the real key issue here is that $1.5 million of liability if Pam is right that they're illegal and what they decided to do about that. And I think a lot of people have misunderstood this, frankly. It's why the county commission ends up coming in on the plaintiff's side of this case against her, which they were very uncomfortable about doing. But it's precisely about that issue. And again, I'll explain this. Just stick around next hour, 8:10. Don't worry. We got time to get there. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Okay. Let's see here.
You can only do things so quickly.
I know.
And I want you to get it. I want you to really understand.
No, understanding. Highway 29 and 9 1/2 mile road. We've got a hit and run accident there that's off to the side of the road. It's just seen some minor delays. And also Pine Forest Road and I-10. I'm trying to figure out if that's east or westbound. We'll get back with you on that. Use caution in that area. Disabled vehicle in the roadway. That just popped up. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty are very, very good at this. They sold 209 homes. I don't know how many they bought last year you helped buy, but that was a lot. You know, she's actually going to be on Pep Talk later today. Fantastic guest on Pep Talk. But here's the thing. They just do all the little things and the big things right. And they have learned how to do it right, and it shows in the results. You know, 4 homes a week they're selling. It's a lot. So whether it's pricing, staging, showing, following up, thinking about what works and doesn't work and talking to you about having realistic expectations and even selling homes that other people have trouble selling, whatever the case may be, she can help you. Now, I know everybody's got a friend, and that's fine. Include your friend on your list, but remember, are you hiring a friend or are you hiring a realtor? Okay? Ask her your questions, and then you decide. I mean, maybe you decide to go with your friend. I mean, no problem. The person from church you know. Maybe you decide to go with her. Just include her on your list. That's all I'm asking. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Jesus loves the unlovable. He loves sinners, and sinners come in all shapes and sizes. In John 3, Jesus shows love to a religious sinner named Nicodemus. Yet in John 4, he shows love to an adulterous sinner known as the Samaritan woman. Nicodemus needed to be born again even though he was religious, just as the sinful Samaritan woman who had been married 5 times and was living with a man who wasn't her husband, she also needed to be born again. The fact is, we're all sinners. When the Samaritan woman realized who Jesus was, she believed on him savingly and then told people all over town how Jesus saved her soul from the consequences of her sin. I urge you, trust Christ today to deal with your sin problem. You'll be eternally glad that you did.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Hi, this is Terrence A. Groves. Did you know that Florida recently passed a major tort reform package? The legislature reduced Florida's general injury statute of limitations from 4 years to 2 years. They limited attorney's fees and homeowners' lawsuits, which could adversely affect homeowners. For any injury claim, call me, Terrence A. Gross, at 850-434-3333 or visit us on the web at grossandschuster.com.
Bands on the Beach is back. So bring a lawn chair or a towel and get ready to enjoy live music at the Stage on Pensacola Beach. There's plenty of room to spread out and enjoy the sand, the sunset, and great live music each and every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. This week, the Disco Kiss will be taking the stage, playing the best songs from the biggest bands of the 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000s. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair, but don't bring any pens or glass. Stop by the Cat Country Tent. It's Bands on the Beach every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion.
When storms pop up fast, it helps to already know where to go.
We've got all the details.
News Radio 92.3. 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
If I had my time again, I would do it all the same.
I was hoping I'd get you on that sound effect. That's the doors opening and closing on the Enterprise.
No.
Right?
Yes.
All right. David Wayne, you got about 10 seconds for a headline. You got one?
Well, the U.S. is allowing Iran to sell oil under a temporary 60-day license.
Fox News. I'm CJ Papa. Massive oil tankers slowly moving through the Strait of Hormuz.
President Trump just moments ago posted to Truth Social saying 19 million barrels of oil flowed out of the Hormuz Strait yesterday. He goes on to say an all-time record. Oil prices are tumbling down and the world is a much safer place.
Fox's Trey Yinks in Tel Aviv. Oman and Iran stress their sovereign rights in their territorial waters in the Hormuz Strait. According to the joint statement, they are committed, they say, to ensuring safe passage through the Strait. Two more suspects under arrest linked to the alleged plot at the White House, the UFC 250 event.
Newly unsealed court records identify Jordan Rinker and William Faulkner, defendants 6 and 7. Investigators say Rinker played a supporting role, accepting $1,200 from alleged ringleader.
That is Fox's Lucas Tomlinson reporting this morning. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 80 degrees right now with partly cloudy skies. We'll get a look at our forecast here in just a few minutes. Well, a transformational shipbuilding project at the Port of Pensacola is getting closer to reality. The Triumph Gulf Coast Board approving the term sheet yesterday for a $76 million grant to bring Bird on America's southeastern headquarters and an advanced ship manufacturing facility to Pensacola. That project would create 2,000 jobs with average salaries ranging anywhere from $68,000 to over $112,000 a year. It would be the largest job creation project in city history. The next step is approval of a full grant agreement, which Mayor D.C. Reeves says could come before the Triumph Board as soon as later this summer. A total project cost is $275 million. Well, Congressman Jimmy Patronis says a series of recent legal developments on gun rights in Florida and across the country are moving in the right direction. He said his position on the issue is pretty simple.
I've always had the attitude that the Second Amendment doesn't have asterisks to it and caveats. It's the right to bear arms. So I'm a purist when it comes to that. I feel like anything that's an impediment to being have your right to bear arms to be able to use your own constitutionally given rights, those are null and void.
Patronis was reacting to several recent developments, including Florida declining to defend its 3-day waiting period after a court found it unconstitutional, 18 to 20-year-olds now being able to conceal carry in Florida, and a Supreme Court ruling suggesting marijuana users cannot be automatically presumed dangerous and therefore prohibited from gun ownership. A University of West Florida researchers received one of the largest external research grants ever awarded to an assistant professor in UWF's health college. Dr. Karishma Shabria Unruh was awarded nearly $825,000 through the Florida Cancer Innovation Fund to lead a statewide program called Move and Nourish Florida. That initiative will help breast and prostate cancer survivors improve their long-term health through personalized guidance on nutrition, physical activity, and stress management. The program will work directly with survivors and community health partners across the state. Florida Senator Ashley Moody is pushing new legislation to crack down on scammers who target seniors. The Stop Scams Against Seniors Act would authorize the creation of task forces bringing together local, state, and federal agencies to investigate and prosecute financial fraud against older Americans. Moody says that the bill has the backing of the AARP. Florida's Department of Government Efficiency apparently is taking yet another look at the city of Pensacola. This is after that first audit back in January that reportedly flagged about $1.4 million in questionable contracts. DOGE now sent a follow-up letter postmarked June 16th requesting more detailed financial information in several key areas, including city credit card transaction logs, emergency purchase records, and a full personnel snapshot. The city has until Friday to respond. It's 7:35. John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you, but if you're on 9 Mile Road going westbound toward I-10, expect about a 10 to 12 minute delay in that area due to a stalled vehicle in the roadway. It's off to the side, but we're still seeing the delays. Avalon Boulevard southbound approaching I-10. Expect about a 9 minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Channel 3 forecast.
We are going to be seeing a chance of rain today, 20% chance overall. Otherwise, mostly sunny skies, high near 91. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 77. For Wednesday, 70% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 88. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 75. Going into Thursday, 50% chance of those showers and thunderstorms, high near 88 degrees. And Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 78. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Right now it's 81 degrees, partly cloudy skies. Your next news in 30 minutes and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. A new PwC report says the annual global deal value of mergers and acquisitions is on track to reach $4 trillion this year, making it the strongest year since 2021. M&A transactions above $5 billion have contributed to almost half of total global deal value so far in 2026. Diplomacy between the U.S. and Iran has translated into relief at the pump for Americans, with gasoline prices falling for a sixth straight week and marking a 15% drop from their May peak. AAA data reports that the national average price of gasoline fell to $3.92 per gallon this morning. Bassetin, a California-based artificial intelligence startup co-founded by Australians, said it raised $1.5 billion in a funding round that valued the company at $13 billion, underscoring the surge of capital flowing into AI firms. The round was led by U.S.-based investors Sands Capital and Wellington Management. Futures are lower this morning as Micron shares drop 9%. That's Your Money Now.
Florida voters could soon decide the future of property taxes. Thursday morning at 9, Pep Talk presents a special Greater Pensacola Chamber legislative wrap-up focusing on the proposed property tax referendum. Hear expert analysis from leading legislative and legal professionals as they explain what's being discussed in Tallahassee, what's at stake, and what it could mean for homeowners, businesses, and local governments. That's Thursday morning at 9 during the Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3.
A lot of questions about roof replacement in the news lately, such as insurance companies demanding replacement before they cancel coverage to companies not doing the job that they sold to you. Make sure you tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel this Thursday at 9:30 as Quality Roofing Solutions will answer your questions. Find out what makes Quality Roofing Solutions the premier contractor in Florida this Thursday at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Good dental health starts at the beginning of life. For infants, wipe their gums with a clean, soft cloth after feeding and make sure to schedule your child's initial dental visit before their first birthday. As your child grows, make sure they brush twice a day and floss before bed, limit sugary snacks and drinks, and schedule regular dental checkups. Focusing on healthy dental habits early helps children grow into healthy adults. Visit floridahealth.gov/dentalhealth to learn more. This message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Health and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News.
Jimmy Patronis is on the line with us. Congressman, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
I'm live from Washington, D.C. today.
We've obviously today been talking about the property tax proposal that has come out of the House and the Senate now.
I have been through a property tax special session before. At the same time that you want to lower everybody's property tax bill, you also have those essential services.
Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News. Listen weekdays 5 to 9 a.m. News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
Let them fool y'all on that. They're going to tell you, oh, we can't tighten up that tight. You're going to have to, you have to lose some services. Yeah, well, I would rather not have to pay taxes on the house that I live in. I mean, that's more, I feel more secure with that than providing me with parks and dog, you know, dog places to poop and stuff like that. I'd rather just not. I wouldn't even mind cutting the sheriff's department in half. Just cut it in half. We're supposed to be responsible for our own safety.
Well, Larry Downs Jr. is nothing if not entertaining. And so in his comments at the county commission meeting last week, a friend, also a super weird philosophical guy, but I like Larry. He's, like I said, entertaining. He says things nobody else will say. Not always good. Not always bad. But he says, I'd be happy cutting the sheriff's department budget in half. I'll take care of my own safety. You take care of your own safety. We don't need so many stinking cops. Sheriff Chip Simmons.
One of those stinking cops.
One of those stinking cops. Although I've never noticed you smell. So, you know, I mean, Sheriff,
not
welcome back.
Close enough, maybe.
Fair enough. On a hot day. Welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. What would it look like if we cut your agency in half?
Well, I mean, first of all, I love this country. I love the fact that people can give their opinion, can say what they want to say. Larry and I are friends, and everyone has their opinion. And I believe that while people like Larry can certainly defend himself, I'm not so sure if everyone else can. And I think that law enforcement, we exist to protect those that need protecting. And that's why I got in the job in the first place.
So if half of your staff was cut, if half your budget was cut because of the property tax referendum, it wouldn't be half, but if it were cut significantly, what would that really practically look like on the ground?
If the budget itself was cut, I mentioned before that 92% of our budget as budgeted, is personnel.
Right.
And so if you talk about a half cut, which that's not even what they're talking about. But
that'd be what, 200 and a quarter deputies if you cut half?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because you got about 450, right?
450, yeah. About 200 and a quarter, yeah. That would be huge. But, again, I don't know that we need to go there yet.
So that would be response times. That would be extra. The people would not be available for extra security. That would be presumably guardians. Well, guardians are kind of funded by the school. But, I mean, that's a lot of change.
We train them.
Yeah.
But if we have to cut our staff, then obviously we may not be able to train them either.
So right, yeah.
There'll be those situations.
Let's talk about other things. I just thought you would enjoy having a chance to respond to that. And I love your first answer, which is, you know, hey, I love this country that allows people even who say crazy things to say them, which is the whole idea of the First Amendment.
That's why you got a job.
That's exactly right. I mean, you know, Larry Downs Jr. has a public forum, and I have this show. So, that's exactly right. You had an overnight pursuit with a stolen car?
Yeah, you know, our deputies, speaking of the deputies that are out there in the street protecting people, we have a couple of different deputies. This is Deputy Nori, and he also had a trainee with him, Finley. They located a 2024 Hyundai, I guess, Tucson, and it was stolen. So they tried to stop it, and as they do sometimes late at night and early in the morning, they fled. We chased the car about 3 minutes. The car crashed into a concrete bollard in a closed parking lot on Pace Boulevard. Anyways, the guy got out and ran. We set up a perimeter as we do. And then a resident of a home on West Maxwell says, hey, there's a broken window on my property. And we go over there and we see blood all over the window. And we go inside and we locate Savario Champion. Obviously placed him into custody, charged him with the break-in. He had some lacerations to both arms. I'm not sure if that was from the car chase or the car crash. And probably the window. He treated at Baptist Hospital, by the way. During the investigation, we searched the vehicle, and what did we find? We found fentanyl, and we also found numerous, what's described as numerous, stolen items from other incidents this past weekend. So at least two other cases where this guy was responsible for stealing stuff. A bag was located with a stolen vehicle's keys, also a firearm, and Champion's ID. So he was kind enough to put his ID in there with a gun and the stolen property.
Oh, well, I mean, look, if another thief makes off with your stolen property, you want to make sure it gets back to you.
Yeah, you can call the cops and say, hey, my ID's
in there. I
mean,
you can put like a luggage tag on the stolen Glock, you know, and then make sure that if somebody else steals it from you and the cops find him, you get your gun back that actually belongs to somebody else.
Society wants to thank him for that, so we do appreciate that. I know the prosecutors will. We also had he also had outstanding warrants and, by the way, he's a 9-time convicted felon.
Oh, come on. Nine times?
Yeah, I think we're going to add a couple of felonies to that. At least one, two, three, four, five, whatever. It's a lot.
Okay.
So good job by our Deputy Norrie and his trainee, Finley. Good job.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. There hasn't been a lot of other kind of high-profile incidents. I want to give you credit for that. You know, we talk about the ones when there are ones and, you know, when there aren't any, we'll say that. We did have a big story. The PNJ kind of broke it. I had heard rumors about this. Actually, somebody had said, you know, you ought to look into this. I'm like, I'll have Chip in on Tuesday. We'll talk to him about it then, which is Colonel Mindy Young, former colonel, now having resigned from your office. We'll get to that in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you, but if you're on I-10 westbound approaching the Pine Forest exit, expect about a 7-minute delay through that construction zone. And also 9 Mile westbound approaching I-10 is about a 10-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Scammy Sheriff Chip Simmons. Let's talk command structure just for a second so people get the sense of the significance of this. So there's you, then you have two chief deputies, Tommy Leiter and Andrew Hobbs, and then you have what's after that?
Commanders.
How many? Three commanders?
We have three commanders.
Three commanders, and then the next layer would be the colonels, and you have six, typically, is that right?
Yes.
Six colonels, and now five, but six.
Right.
So she was at that layer of the administration. What happened?
Well, we got a word from the Milton Police Department that they were investigating her for a felony. And
she lives in Milton?
I don't know where she lives.
I didn't understand the relationship of Milton to all this, so that's why I asked.
I believe the victim lives in
Milton. Okay, gotcha. Okay, got it.
So
Milton issued a warrant.
Right. And once they issued the warrant and we read the probable cause statement, we informed her that she was going to be under investigation and likely terminated. She chose to resign or retire.
Okay.
And she did that just prior to actually being charged.
So 19 years in, something like that?
I think she has 25 or 26 years.
Oh, okay. My math. Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Long, well enough to be retirement age. Okay, go ahead.
That's correct. She was the colonel over our mental health unit. That was her niche, and that was all she was over. She wasn't. She's kind of was in a unique situation. The News Journal erroneously reported that she was over some other things, but that's not true.
Okay, so because it said she was. Oh, I had it here, but they said some other elements of her that she was over. But it was only the mental health unit.
That's correct.
Got it. Okay.
They said that she was over a number of other things, but
right.
We have Colonel Don James is actually over the SROs and those other positions.
Okay.
So anyways, Mindy Young, obviously we have standards at the sheriff's office where certainly in the command staff, we expect everyone to uphold those standards. And being charged with a felony does not bode well for that. So she's no longer an employee at the Schema County Sheriff's Office.
And in this case, the alleged felony is harassing her husband, who they're not divorced yet, but he's apparently living with somebody else. There was some property damage. There were some threatening statements. There's a variety of things that are kind of in that genre, but her behavior was enough that you knew she'd have to be put on at least on during an investigation on desk duty. And then after that,
she was on leave.
She was on leave. Okay, so not
on leave. As soon as we knew that the investigation involved a felony, so we went ahead and took her.
Got it.
Her cars and her guns and all that sort of
thing. And the only reason I ask that is because as opposed to when a deputy is involved in a shooting, they are on mandatory desk duty, which does not presume any guilt and does not presume any felony by them. But this was the investigation of a felony would mean that it's prudent to put her on.
She was simply on leave.
On leave.
She was not to work at all in any capacity until we get more clarity with regards to their investigation. Once we got that that clarity, it was, you know, again, we don't need a conviction. I just need to look at the probable cause statement and determine that that's something that we can't employ.
Reaction to this, a fairly high level, you know, leader of yours, and
I didn't promote her. She was a colonel when I took over at the sheriff's office. But we did find a niche for her. Again, this mental health. She was a licensed mental health counselor, and we were able to use her as our part of our internal mental health, which we will now direct.
Okay, so when people are dealing with trauma from any incident, they can go to her or go to the people that she's overseeing and talk. And yeah, that was her responsibility?
That's correct. It was also always an option to go to EAP. Or you can go
What's EAP?
Employee. Basically, it's a service that we provide for mental health.
Okay.
For counseling and therapy and such. And most agencies, most governmental agencies will give you 3 free visits. And then after that, your insurance has to kick in. So they've always had that option. So and now that will be the only option that we'll have.
Okay.
At least in the short term.
Okay. Anything else you want to clarify, talk? I mean, I know in a lot of ways, you know, you're not involved in all the particulars of the case. It's obviously it's a kind of a soap opera sort of story, but, you know, cops are also people. And we always have to remember that cops are people, and that means that sometimes they, you know, have unhealthy things in their lives. Sometimes they have very virtuous things in their lives. But any other comments you want to make about this?
No, you know, she had a career at the sheriff's office. Mm-hmm. I don't want to lose sight of that.
Yep.
But again, I mentioned that we have certain standards, and we have standards certainly for our command staff and the position that she held. I'm obviously disappointed in it. I hope that she can end up getting past this, and I hope the victims can get past this as well. But her career at the sheriff's office is complete.
You guys did an active shooter training at on campus with UWFPD recently at one of the dorms. Yeah, I was talking to Chief Roman Jackson about that a little bit. So.
Exactly. That's it. I mean, you know, we work very well with the UWF Police Department because they're obviously in our jurisdiction. And
what do they have, like 25 officers, 20?
I don't know what they have.
Okay.
I know Roman Jackson very well.
I feel like that's in the vicinity.
He was a high-ranking employee at the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office before he got this job. And so we take every opportunity to train with the other agencies that we partner with, and certainly UWF we do that with. And then they were able to, luckily enough, they had some dorm rooms and some areas that weren't being used because the school was, I guess, during summer recess as well. And so we had some high-quality training because you never know where an incident might take place. And one building, while it's a little different than other buildings, it does give you some training opportunities. So we took advantage of that. So we really appreciate that.
Novel situations are always a good opportunity to train and make sure that you're applying what you know in unusual circumstances, you know, working with other agencies, because God forbid you have to respond to college campus. It's better to be able to interact effectively, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not the first time that we've had. We had an incident a couple of years ago where Pensacola Christian College, we had an active shooter call, ended up being a misunderstanding. But certainly with all the buildings and trying to figure out what building's what and how do you clear a 5 and 10 story building is obviously something that we don't train with very much. And when you're given that opportunity,
Have you done one with them lately? Do they have a police department? Do they have a security force? What's their
– Pensacola Christian College? They
PCC?
Have some security, but they don't have a police department.
Okay. So you guys are the police – well, actually – got to think about it. They're in the city now? No, Baptist is in the city. They're in the county, right?
That's correct.
PCC is in the county. Okay. Donut strike for Manna? This week, right? Early next week?
What is this, a fifth or sixth year in a row?
Yeah.
I guess it starts this morning, but I know the police department, the sheriff's office, the fire departments, they're all getting together. The thought there is that, we're going to – law enforcement, we love donuts, apparently. And, we're going to stay off donuts until we raise a lot of money or a lot of food.
This hits some deputies harder than others.
Probably does. Yeah. I'm not really a big donut eater, so
I know. Like, you're not much of a donut. You're more of a burger and steak guy. So.
So, anyways, the bottom line is the money and the food goes to Manna. And having been on the board, Manna for the board member for Manna, I know that the food stays here local. And that's very important to me.
That's a great organization. It's one of the 4, 5, 6 organizations that we give our money to all the time because, you know, we believe in what they do in the gospel. You know, we love what they do. Concealed carry rules have changed again. It seems like almost every week we wake up to something new. Now the rule is that a court has decided that 18 to 20-year-olds cannot be discriminated against via the rule that says they cannot concealed carry. James Uthmeyer, the attorney general, has said that we're not going to work on this anymore. So it's a law now. It's practice anyway in the state. 18 to 20-year-olds can conceal carry, right?
That's correct.
They can't buy a pistol. And I think they still can. The rules change so much. I don't think they can still buy shotguns and rifles, but we're working on that part. But yeah, they can be gifted a weapon, and they can conceal carry a handgun if they're gifted it, right?
I think all this is just a matter of time before things all come into alignment. We are a Second Amendment state. We're certainly a Second Amendment county. And so the change doesn't really affect us, except for we approach somebody, you know, trying to buy a weapon. And we say, okay, guys, y'all sort this thing out. So it is we have been given, you know, some direction on that, but their direction is basically what you just said. They can now carry concealed.
Yeah, and so, for example, things that in the past, if you see a young-looking person and they happen to lift their shirt inadvertently, you see a gun in the past, that would have been a probable cause perhaps for a stop and question. At least now, not anymore, because unless you have reason to believe they're 15 or a former felon.
Well, yeah, and you can still stop, and if you have reason, like I said, they may be a former felon and they're not supposed to carry, but... And if someone feels concerned about it and there might be brandishing it or fear that they may be brandishing it, we can stop and talk to somebody. But then ultimately we'll find out. We haven't made any arrests for that. So we're not out there looking for 19-year-olds that were concealed carry in the first place.
Right.
And so it's not something – unless you're running from the cops in a car and you're a 9-time convicted felon.
And you have fentanyl in your ID and all the
other things. We have different opinions on those types of characters.
And I periodically ask, has – the changes in open carry, concealed carry, permitless, now 18 to 20-year-old concealed carry, have any of these changes been issues? Are you seeing a lot of people open carry in Escambia? I still haven't seen but one in the year.
I don't know that I've seen any, and I'm not aware of any issues at all. Obviously, we've let our deputies know so that if they see something, my thought is that they will evaluate it, you know, visually, and then, okay, that looks like they're in an area where they can conceal carry or open carry. And so it's not been an issue.
I thought it'd be more of an issue that some stores have said that, you know, we don't prefer you to open carry in our stores. I thought there'd be more of a little bit, you know, conflict over that. And it just seems like it's all kind of fizzled. Like everybody's fine. Everybody's fine just doing whatever they're doing.
Well, we talked about this before. You know, a lot of people didn't realize. I think Alabama's open carry, Tennessee's open carry. And like no one knew it because people weren't actively doing it.
Right, right.
Because again, it's not as convenient as you would think it is. You strap a gun to your side and you go to a store parking lot and realize, well, dang, I can't carry in there. I can't carry in there. I got to take it off and put it somewhere. So it's not as convenient as one would think that it is. My assumption is people are doing more concealed carry still. And again, if you conceal carry correctly, then no one will know about it.
Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff. Sir, thank you so much. Oh, go ahead.
I do want to clarify one thing that we talked about with Colonel Young. She was over the internal mental health part, but she was also over the co-responder unit, which is where we partner with a Lakeview clinician.
Got it.
But there's also a supervisor over that, and it doesn't affect that at all. We're going to continue with our co-responder unit.
Okay.
And then again, we will filter our internal employees that have a need to our EAP program or to a personal provider.
Excellent. Very good. Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, sir, thank you for the time, for what you do, keeping us safe, keeping us informed. We'll talk to you next week.
You bet. You'll take care.
John Pickens, traffic for us.
That's right. Still reporting no accidents right now, but if you're on I-10 westbound approaching Pine Forest, you're still going to see about a 9-minute delay. And also 9 Mile going westbound approaching I-10, experiencing about an 8-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 91% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for the summer and fall semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out how this Thursday morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information about this Thursday morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hi, Hi, this is David Williams. I'm seeking re-election to the Escambia County School Board in District 3. I worked for 35 years in the school system, where I've made a difference in students' lives, where I help increase the graduation rate, making sure our schools are safe, and ensuring our students are college and career ready. Please visit my webpage at davidwilliams3.com and view my platform for District 3. Re-elect David Williams, Escambia School Board.
Paid political ad by David Williams for Escambia County School Board District 3.
All right, 7:59 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, Andrew, reports came out yesterday saying one of the two notes sent to a Tucson, Arizona TV station said the Nancy Guthrie died shortly after she was taken and was buried somewhere in the wilderness.
All right, very good. David, thank you so much for the update. All right, part three of our saga in Escambia County over the lawsuit with Pam Childers, Alex Andrade's clients, and the Board of County Commissioners. At the end of this segment, you will finally understand everything that you need to understand. I promise.